Hey, I'm Kyle, this is Crossroads, and today we start a new series on the book of John.
I'm John, nice to meet you. You may have heard of me, I'm kind of Jesus' best friend, no big deal. Not really sure how I ended up here in America. Been seeing a lot of sights, it's bad, it kind of sucks.
We're learning about Jesus from John's perspective, who he really was.
Oh yeah, you want to hear about Jesus, of course. Yeah, the big man, everybody wants to hear about him. And like I said, we were best friends, like Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, or Kanye and Kanye. He was just like a normal dude. He had a job, we went fishing together. He put on his sandals one at a time, just like everybody else. But at the same time, he was also an alien, not from this earth. He was like Thanos, but not purple or evil. Dude just said and did things that no man could do. He was God in human form.
Anyway, are I getting paid for this? I'll tithe it, I swear. I just want to more whatever this is.
Look, it comes with its own little baptismal.
Well, you get the idea. But let's get started with my friend Hannah talking about light. And actually, before we get started, I want you to know that we're completely donor funded. It's because of generous givers like you and me and my family, thousands of others who make this message possible. Let's go to Hannah.
Now, I'm a little bit late, actually super late, but I'm finally filling out my NCAA March Madness bracket. No, this is not a basketball. It's a light. I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that I have it narrowed down to who will for sure, maybe, possibly, probably not win. I'm not sure what the point of brackets are. Anyway, hey, I'm Hannah, and believe it or not, I think that my bracket that I don't understand and Jesus might just have something in common. See, when I'm filling out my bracket, I'm looking for that top spot, the one who's gonna shine above the rest, the team that will be a true winner. Today, we're gonna talk about how Jesus is the true winner. No, not in that like cliche statement way, but how he's the winner specifically over darkness. Some call this light. Now, he's not just any light, he is the light. Now, we all have some sort of bracket in life, some space where we have a winning spot and it is designed for something. Today, I'm going to tell you why Jesus has that winning spot in my bracket and why he deserves that spot in yours. Okay, let me tell you why I was late building out my NCAA bracket. It's because I was busy. Maybe out of town, tired. No, actually, it's just because I really don't care too much about who actually wins this time around. But I think I know some ancient characters who have a bracket of their own that they're trying to fill out, and they probably care a lot more than me. Like I said, this NCAA bracket, it has something to do with Jesus, and I'm about to prove it to you right now. I love how we're meeting this John character and bringing him into our current context, because I bet a NCAA bracket-like thing where there's the boxes and the lines, that would have been really useful for John and people like John living in his time. See, the Apostle John, the follower of Jesus, the disciple, he calls himself the one who Jesus loves, this guy, and many people during the same time period he lived, they were all looking for someone to fill this highest ranking spot, and that is the Messiah. They were looking for the ultimate winner over darkness, and there's only one spot for that. They were searching for the one who was gonna come and finally save and deliver them. And you're like, save and deliver them from what? Aren't we talking about the Jews here? God's chosen people who were already rescued from Egypt by Moses? Well, this is God's chosen people we're talking about, but no, we're not exactly talking about the Jews in Egypt. Let me catch you up. We're talking about people who wanted to be delivered from darkness. They were searching for light. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why is the writer John telling us all of this? Why is he talking about light and being in the beginning? Why is he even going back to Genesis? Didn't we just do that? No. He's doing this because he's trying to let us, the reader, know who Jesus is. See, it's right here in this important distinction, but very clever conjunction that the writer makes, that we understand who Jesus is. He's both word and he's flesh. It means that he's both divine, Son of God, and he's human, the Son of Man. Let me tell you why this distinction is so important, because in a world where truth is so hard to nail down, where it's so subjective, the concept of God is hard to decipher. It's out there among all the noise of all the other things that call themselves gods. God gave us a sure way to know what he is like and who he is. And that is through Jesus. So God is holy. Yeah. And we can't see him, which makes him feel really far away. He made sure that we don't have to wonder or question about what his character is because of Jesus. Jesus is God in human form. And he made sure that we will be able to know that he is light who will always beat darkness. Now, the Bible points to this consistently. In Colossians 1 and 15, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." But why? Why do we need to know what God is like? Why does it matter if he's represented in Jesus? Well, I think there's a host of reasons, but I think it's because God wants us to be able to distinguish him as light. He wants us to be able to identify that it is him who is truth, who's life, who's peace, and who is light that shines in the darkness. See, on that NCAA bracket that I mentioned earlier, there's only one space for the winner. There's a lot of contenders, a lot of teams that compete, a lot of people that really want to get into that final spot. But at the end of the day, there's just one. Now, if the Apostle John had had a bracket, there would only be one space for the Messiah too. One space for the Savior, the coming person that was supposed to change everything. But just like the teams on my NCAA bracket, there would have been a lot of people, a lot of competitors, if you will, a lot of contenders trying to make their way to that winning spot. Now, if you don't believe me that there is a ranking situation in the Bible, I'm going to tell you it's right here in the Bible. John the Baptist, not the Apostle John, different John, who's Jesus' cousin. Some people even thought he was the Messiah. He said this, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me." See, y'all, there it is. There's a ranking. So there's people moving all around, all over the bracket, trying to get into that final spot. And so the people like John, I imagine, people like Moses, people like John the Baptist, perhaps even, were like, who is this Messiah? Who's going to fill that final spot? Who is going to be the light that saves us from darkness? They're saying, will you be the one that takes away all the pain, all the suffering? They're searching. And honestly, aren't we all? We all might have a bracket of some sort in our life, that thing where we're like, there is only one winning spot, something where we want to fill the ultimate space, something where we have actually tried everything and we've moved all the boxes around trying to figure out what is going to be the winner, what is going to be the thing that takes away the darkness. Maybe we're searching for the ultimate thing that'll make us happy. And so we've tried all these different things. We moved around the boxes. Maybe we're searching for the one thing that'll bring us peace. Maybe we're looking for the one thing that's going to take away the gnawing feeling of loneliness, the feeling of worthlessness. Maybe we're looking for the thing that's going to take away darkness. And I'm telling you, I got the answer. It's the light.
So this tinder isn't used to start fires.
No, it's something very different.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it'll burn your life down, but...
Okay, that's... So. Okay, huh, mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know if you guys have heard about these things called phones. They're amazing. Like, we never had these where I'm from, you know?
Uh-huh.
I learned there's this thing called the Crossroads app, and you can get it, and you can read the Bible in the app. And, like, where do I get that again?
At the app store.
The app store, like, kind of like a market kind of thing. Like where you get your breads and your apps
no,
together?
Not at all.
Is there another place I can get it?
You can go to crossroads.net.
Oh,
can,
I love
you
Nets.
You can look there. It's
love
not
Nets.
What you think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, there's this painting that moves. What do you call that?
Magic.
Magic. Let's watch some magic right now.
This is a story from the Bible Challenge.
I'm Rico Caius, and I am a cross-country and track coach. So I wake up every morning, get ready for my day. I grab a cup of coffee and I come to the chair that I'm sitting at right now. The Bible Challenge is fun because even though I'm by myself, I know that there are other people doing it alongside me. And it's also really cool to see how they're interpreting something and how it's applying to their life. I think when we were going through the book of Daniel, it was pretty awesome to see just like his discipline and how Daniel would pray at the same time in the same place. So those were like predictable patterns in his life. That idea from the book of Daniel can easily be replicated with the kids that I coach in the sport of running. Even on the tough days when we don't want to, like we're gonna show up and we're gonna do it because that's one of our team values. As a result of me participating in it, I get to influence other lives as a result of that.
So we're searching. We keep looking and we're searching on how we're gonna fill our brackets, whatever that bracket is for you. We keep looking for what we're gonna think is gonna be the winner. We keep asking ourselves, what is that ultimate thing that will make the darkness in my life go away? We fill it. We fill our brackets with all types of stuff. It's all artificial. We fill it with maybe striving for the next best thing. And so we see one part like, oh, this job, you know what? That's not good enough. That's not gonna move on to the next round. Get a new job. Maybe we fill our bracket with isolation and self-reliance. We say, I tried that small group. I tried that group of friends. They didn't make the cut. You know what's better? Me on my own, me, myself, and I. Maybe we fill up our brackets, our lives with immediate gratification. We think that the way out of darkness is simply satisfying every single thing that we want. Maybe we think the way out of darkness is just numbing because it's better not to feel. We're all searching and we're looking for the physical thing that can fix our spiritual problem. You see, there is actually a fix to the darkness, and it's called light. Maybe you've tried it out. Maybe you haven't, but this light, the light, by the way, is the only thing that can drive out darkness. It's the only thing that's more powerful than what can feel like thick and heavy, heavy space. See, and that's where Jesus comes in. I think God knew that humans that he placed in a very physical world would always look for a physical fix to a spiritual problem. And that's why Jesus is the perfect combination, see, because he's both God and man, God and flesh. This physical flesh over here is also the divine spiritual God. Someone who, when we see him, we can say, we've seen the Father because he is the Father. See, and he's the only physical being with the divine power to drive away darkness. Yeah, maybe I'm talking about physical darkness, like dark at night with starry. Yeah, Jesus can drive it out. But that's not really what I'm getting at. I'm talking about driving out the spiritual darkness that you and I all have. And you know what? It's on display everywhere. The kind of darkness that makes us hate our brother. See, it's this kind of darkness that leads us to believe we'll be alone, unloved forever. It's the kind of darkness that lets hatred and division rule. This kind of darkness is the kind that Jesus came to overcome. And yes, he came to overcome it for the world, but also in our own personal lives. The Bible calls him the light of the world, and he is. But he's also the light of our personal world. And it's in this light that gives us hope. It helps us see that there is a better way. There is a better plan. There is a light that reminds us we don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to be broken. We don't have to be even in sin. We can be whole. Now, you might be asking yourself, Hannah, how can you believe this? I don't even see the physical darkness you're talking about. I don't actually even need a savior. Maybe you're right. But if you're anything like me, you know that in the back of your mind, without Jesus, there is something missing. There's a piece of you that feels a void. I'll tell you how I believe in the light. It's this thing called faith. Yeah, faith lets us believe this. Sometimes I actually look around and it's hard to have faith because I'm like, the darkness is winning. The darkness is all around and it's still winning. What did Jesus overcome? There's war, there's famine, there's poverty, there's stealing. There are people cutting you in COVID lines and then threatening to harm you. That's a true story. Happened to a friend of mine. The world is crazy. But you know what? Then I take a look at my own personal life and I think about the mess that I was before Jesus. I think about the person that's obsessed with perfection, with overworking, with striving. The person who thinks, you know what, if I get the next best thing, then I'm gonna be whole. I think about my own futile solutions that I have put in all of these brackets. See, my bracket was filled with both self-loathing and simultaneously toxic autonomy. I look at how I was. And then Sundays, maybe even still struggle with this, but I was headed for spiritual and emotional destruction. And then there's this light. Jesus, who offers me, and oh, you, by the way, he offers us a better way. He lets me know that the anger that I struggle with sometimes, the pride that I struggle with sometimes, those things don't have to rule my life. See, when I look at Jesus, when I look at the light, his light shines out the darkness because I know that I actually can be compassionate just like him. He offers me hope. He lets me know that, you know what? I can have an impact on this world just like he did. And when I look at those actions, when I look at the light, I'm looking at God. See, I'm living proof that the light works, y'all. Me standing right here is living proof that the light works. I'm a walking example that God in the flesh, who we call Jesus, is the only one who deserves the center bracket. He's the only winner that can overcome the darkness. He's the only light. And you know what? I can't believe it sometimes, but he actually wants a relationship with me. He actually wants a relationship with you. He might be saying to you, listen, you've tried all the other lights. Remember, I had that orb, that artificial light, the candle, that artificial light, the lamp, that artificial light. You tried all the other artificial lights trying to fix your dark situations and you filled your bracket. You said, this one's gonna be the winner. No, it's gonna be this one. It's gonna be this one. You filled it with anything and everything else. But Jesus is saying, what about me? How about you give the real source of light a try? See, when we have this light, the ultimate winner of darkness, it changes things. When we have the light that Jesus offers, he doesn't just say, oh no, everything's gonna be perfect. You know what? When we have the light that Jesus offers, it gives us a blueprint for how we should see everything else in our lives. And that's through, remember, he's the light and the word. See, our standard for what is true starts to change. Our standard for what is good starts to shift. It's no longer this like murky out there thing. We can literally look at Jesus and see God and things start to clear up because it's this God, it's this Jesus who's the light that drives out darkness. In a second, we're about to head to worship, which is just prayer set to music. And you might be like, why do I need to pray set to music? But that moment of worship, it does something. It aligns us with God. Now, if you're looking for that light that I talked about, if you're one of the ones who are like, you know what? I've actually tried all the other things in my life that I thought were gonna be the ultimate light to drive out darkness and nothing has worked. Nothing's worked. This moment of worship is for you to really think about if you wanna invite that light into your life, to align yourself. But for those of you who are ready right now, if you're like, I actually don't need to think. I actually have tried all the other artificial lights and I'm ready to make that shift right this second. I want you to pray with me. You can repeat after me if that's helpful. God, it's me, Hannah. Now you say your name. And I'm coming to you because I've tried everything. I've tried all the other artificial lights. I've been looking for something to drive out darkness. I recognize that that is you, God. I want you to be the ultimate source of light in my life. Come into my heart right now. Make space in my heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, I want to know, actually. You can email me right now. I will respond at hannah.driscoll@crossroads.net. And if you don't want to chat with me, that's okay. You can chat with anyone. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to chat with somebody. Don't just live that out alone. You can go to crossroads.net to chat with someone right now. Let's worship together. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah.
Enjoyed this week's message from my friend Hannah. If you have any more questions, I live at the Sea of Galilee in a nice little chateau.
No. We have a chat on the website. It's far easier than that.
Cool. So. Yeah, I love that. Tickets are expensive. Crossroads is donor funded, which means the money that you and others put forward to actually help us do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. We also use some of that money to do things like help you understand what you were trying to say in the book of John. This is a free guidebook we put together about the book of John. Gives you context that you maybe left out, things you assumed.
I think I wrote it pretty good.
It's free at crossroads.net/Bible Challenge. We'll mail one to your house.
Very cool. So I don't remember it being that small.
Speaking of that, Easter is coming up.
Easter, I remember that.
Cool. Uh-huh. Thank you. Good. And we have a sneak peek of it for you.
Easter is a love story. An act of love for a heartbroken world. The fulfillment of the promise that no matter what has happened in your life, what you've done, or how far you feel from God, love says you are worth dying for. The good news of Easter is that we don't have to wonder if we are loved or what that love will do for us. Love has come to save us all. Join us for Easter with Crossroads. Find service times at crossroads.net/Easter.
You can check it out. We'll see you next week on Crossroads.
Awesome.
Do you want to say that part?
No.
Give it a little. You want? You can.
No, I'll get
you
it
want
next
it. Why don't you? Why don't you give the people the last line? Come on. You can, come
okay.
on, buddy. You got it.
We'll see you next week on Crossroads.
A little
that
more.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you next week on Crossroads.
Perfect.
That felt good.
Uh huh. Bye.
You know, the best way to get to know someone is through the lens of people who are closest to them. That would include the Apostle John. Lots of people have a cultural touch point for Jesus, but few people knew what he was really, really like. And I'm going to give you today two stories that are polar opposite extremes of seeing Jesus. Oftentimes, when we see the extremes of somebody, we understand the totality of who they are.
Come to Crossroads Church for the next series, Jesus According to His Alleged Best Friend, and hear all about who Jesus was. Quick note, not alleged, true. It's in the Bible. Doesn't matter who wrote it.
I don't know why he's here. I feel like it's this online church and he's never even seen a phone before. Like,
yeah.
He's just making it worse, and I feel like we're gonna lose people. I just need you guys to